Get one?
Right flame. There you go. Well, in our lectionary series, we follow along through the kind of narrative or the overall story of the scriptures. And this year, of course, we started back in Genesis in September, and now we're really getting toward the end of the Old Testament, or what we might call the Hebrew Scriptures. And the voice we get from the end of this kind of story that's leading us to Jesus and the New Testament is this: it's a reading from the prophet of Joel. Now, it's hard to place Joel. He's a little tough to place, but I think he comes quite late. The temple, I believe, is rebuilt from what I can hear from him. And there are Greeks are the problem, and they kind of come into the picture pretty late. So we're thinking he's pretty late in this story. But he's an old-school prophet. I mean, you hear his words, you know, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, you know, the day of the Lord is coming upon you, and it's darkness and gloom. Gets you revved up, doesn't it? He's like, whoa. And then he goes on, of course, to describe this army coming after, vast, without number. And, you know, the mountains won't stop them. Their weapons aren't going to stop them. That the punishment of God was coming for these people. They'd be coming over the walls. Fire would go before them. They'd be going through their windows. It's like, whoa. Blow the trumpet, sound the alarm. This is devastating what he's promising might come on God's people. Well, there's been a fair bit as we look back at the prophets and scriptures we've been looking at a very that follow this very similar pattern. God's people wander away. They go after other gods. They just forget about God. They blow it in some way. And God sends a voice to correct them and warn of God's punishment. The hope is at that point they will return. As our scripture says, that they will turn from where they're going and where they're headed and the way they're living and be awake, alive to God and what God would want for them in their lives. And as we look back at this kind of long set of scriptures, we find that they often didn't. That some horrible punishments came upon them. Some real awful things befell them. And you'd think, looking at them, well, why didn't they get it? Why didn't they learn? Why does this keep happening like this? Well, I think of us today, and, you know, remember these scriptures are happening over hundreds of years. And most of us here probably don't think much about the lessons that, say, our country learned 100 years ago. I was thinking, well, that'd be right before World War I. You know, I have no idea what we learned then. How about 10 years ago that we learned? How many lessons from them do you remember? 10, that's getting out there too. Let's be honest. How many of you were here last Sunday and listened to Pastor Daniel's sermon and remember what he said? Did you remember the lesson from last Sunday? Well, maybe not. And part of the problem with this is our memories, isn't it? I'm just not very good at remembering things, and we have so many things pressing on us. I mean, what are you going to have for lunch today? Oh, that meeting on Tuesday. Don't forget about that. And remember to call so-and-so, and oh, you got to get that one thing arranged. And so it goes. There's just the day-to-day living, the demands that we face, I think, just distract us. And who wants to look at what these prophets are pointing at? It's negative. It's our sin. I don't know about you, but navel-gazing is not easy. Well, I did blow that. I do feel bad. You know, for a little bit maybe, but not much of that. Or even in our world, look out in our world and see what's wrong. It's hard to do. It takes some kind of inner energy to face up into it because the negative things in our world get to us. They cost us. There's a price to pay to look at it. The tough sides of reality. It is. As for our little contemplative group, we have a reading this for this week. We're going to do it for Monday. And it's a professor has a little quote in there, and it just caught my attention. He said, everyone who relinquishes the security of a sleepwalking existence will sooner or later be mortally wounded by the world's suffering. So he's saying we get caught in kind of a sleepwalking existence. We kind of have the blinders on almost, and We're going about our narrow little world, really not wanting to deal with much, especially much hard stuff. And we just stay kind of surfacey. We don't dig into it. And he said, because if we do, it wounds us. He says, mortally wounds us. There's a price to pay. It gets to us. It's depressing. It hangs on our shoulders. We get cynical. We feel helpless or hopeless about things. And you know, wow, what do we do? A few years ago, I was doing one of those channel surfing things. It's a guy thing, but you know, we're channel surfing. And two channels just hit one after another that just, them being next to each other, just caught me. The first channel was some people giving us videos of children starving in Africa. Stark. Little children were standing there, they were just really thin, they had flies on, they're not even swatting the flies away, you could tell they're lethargic. But they had the big bellies, skinny bodies, and they're just kind of there. And it's just like, whoa. It's just hard to watch it. The very next channel, though, I flipped to is one of these kind of just bouncy, exuberant scenes in front of a riverboat. So it's kind of, they're in the costumes you wear in a riverboat, long pleated dresses for the women, the men in kind of jaunty suits with the vests on, and they're dancing, they have tons of energy, they're all young, healthy people, and the grass is green, the trees are full, the water's flowing, I mean, it's just, wow. Like, right next to each other, these two images. One is next to it means that riverboat scene really seemed kind of surfacey, superficial maybe, kind of empty almost, and the other one is tragic and heavy. And the prophets kept telling the people, well, I need you to look at this one. I need you to look at what's wrong too. You don't get a pass on this. You don't get to miss it. I need you to see these suffering people and care about them. Look, it's like, oh man, how do you do that? Because there's a wound to it. But that quote is right. There's this wounding that can happen with that as we dwell in it. It's like, oh man, how am my spirit supposed to stay on? I think for that reason, the prophet Joel continues on, as other prophets did, and said, you know, something different needs to happen in this world. Beyond, blow the trumpet, sound the alarm, you know, God's coming to get us, you know, sort of thing. Look at what you're doing, people. Return. Something different has to happen. And the way Joel talks about it is he says that God is going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. Okay? Remember in the Old Testament, the people who got the spirit were people like kings or priests or prophets. They're the ones filled with the spirit. They're the ones who were given the spiritual wisdom to know what to say. And he goes on to say that your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Now, prophesy is not foretell the future here. Prophesy is they will know a word of the Lord. They will look at this world and say, you know, here's what I think God says about that. They'll be able to look at something and say, I think God says this about that. It'll be in them because the Spirit's in them. They'll be able to look at this world. And no, that's bad. God says this about that kind of thing. And it says the old will dream dreams. Again, in the ancient world, dreams were how God often spoke to them, but they're kind of mysterious. So you needed a spiritual wisdom to understand the dream. And he said, you're old, with the Spirit's help, will know the dreams, what God is saying. You're young, will have visions. Again, visions are kind of large imageries, but they also have that kind of forward aspect that this is where we need to go. But our young, with the Spirit of God, will know where they need to go. And even on our slaves, we don't have that today, and not forward leaders. Hidden in recesses, but slaves, male and female, these are people that were discounted in the back world. They were possessions. No one worried about what they thought or how they did. I'm going to give my spirit to them. This is going everywhere. My spirit's going to be there, so people will know. They'll be awake, alive, ready to see what happens. And I think a great scene of that unfolding, of course, is our gospel lesson. So Mary goes out to see Elizabeth, and when Elizabeth greets her, it says she is filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth is just this hill country woman out here. I mean, she's going out in the hill country. She's a country bumpkin out there. And she is filled with the Spirit, and she knows that something's going on in who? Mary, right? Unmarried, pregnant teenager. That God is working there. that in these unexpected places, unexpected ways, God's Spirit is coming not from the outside so much as from within to help us be able to see. The darkness of our world is not all going away. The doom and gloom of the day of the Lord is not all that far away from any of us. But for us, we believe that in strange, bad places, a light shines. Sometimes against the darkness. Isn't that what it says? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. That we have eyes to see this happening, that we maybe not look at always the big picture, but those near us and dear us, and even though we don't always like, and know that God's Spirit's working. God's presence is coming. And God is giving us, through that Spirit's power, eyes to see. See what we may not otherwise see. The breaking in of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll stand as we sing our hymn.